This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. Unfortunately, there is no KER politics this weekend, and instead of running a replay of the show, I decided to run a replay of a couple of the daily editorials we posted throughout this week. If you want to listen to these full daily editorials, just visit our website and click on the corresponding post, which I will note in these first two segments. We're getting an energy update with Dan Steffens. The full interview was posted on Wednesday. Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Dan Steffens, president of the Energy Prospectus Group. And as we do on a monthly basis, we are focused on the energy markets, more specifically oil and natural gas. We're going to talk about some of the price drivers within, especially the oil price here. And then we're going to talk about a couple companies that Dan sent over to me that he likes the setup of. But Dan, first and foremost, I think we do need to address what has happened in the oil price. It was about $95 at the end of September and has moved almost straight down through October and November below $70 a barrel. Not at a low for the year, but there has been no doubt some momentum to the downside for the oil price. The question being, what is causing some of this weakness? We'll get into some of the individual aspects, but Dan, from a high level aspect, this is a big move down in oil. Why is the oil price sold off so much?
Well, the perception that demand has pulled back a little bit, and they announced recently that U.S. production has gotten to an all-time high, which was basically just getting back to where we were pre-COVID and maybe another 100,000 to 200,000 barrels a day more than that, which sounds like a big number, but that's really not that big of a deal. And the other thing I need to remind everybody, the EIA has started counting more natural gas liquids in their oil volume. So the oil production we're announcing every week now contains more NGLs than it did, you know, just a few months ago. So I think they wanted to get it up above that. You know, there's a lot of pressure on those guys to get oil prices down since they report to people who want lower gasoline prices.
But Dan, could this have anything to do with people projecting a recession into next year or any major changes in the supply aspect that we've seen in the markets?
Yeah, well, the U.S., you know, supply is up, production is up a little bit, but it's not that much. And then overall in the world, it's not. Supply and demand are tight. I mean, this morning, EIA reported that in the U.S., crude oil, gasoline inventories, and distillate inventories are all below normal for this time of year. And that's pretty much the same throughout all the OECD countries. So it's not that there's any glut of oil anywhere. I think what happened this last dip, when where we were, you know, in this around 80 to where we are now in the, you know, just below 70 today, is because I think the paper traders, the people trading those futures contracts, read too much into the delay of that OPEC meeting. You know, they were going to have an OPEC meeting on November the 26th, and they put it off for 4 days and didn't come out with their usual announcement until November 30th. And they did increase the amount of oil they were going to keep off the market. So they did lower their export quotas, which when it first came out, the oil jumped and then it pulled back. And I think they just read too much into that. And what it really was is the two African nations, Nigeria and Angola, they were arguing for higher quotas, even though they've been having trouble producing up to their quotas. You know, it's just kind of a political thing. They wanted a higher quota in case they could get up to that. But, you know, OPEC's not going to flood the market with, they're still in control and we're still net importers of oil. So we don't have much control over the oil price. They do. anyway, there are a lot of dynamics there, and it's just that the quality of the oil, we need more heavy oil. We produce too much light oil, so we're exporting a lot of light oil over to the European refineries. There's a lot of stuff moving around these ships these days.
Well, Dan, since you brought it up, let's talk about what the market and traders are pricing in, because the market is in contango, which means that futures contracts for near-term supply versus later deliveries have shifted to a discount. This typically indicates that the market is in an oversupplied situation. Doesn't that mean that we could see lower prices moving forward, or at least that's what traders are expecting?
I mean, right now, they feel like they've got enough in inventory, and they don't need to go out and buy it. But it's like 30 times more oil trades in the futures market than there is in the physical market. So a bunch of it is just these futures contracts that have to be, you know, it's people taking bets on which side, which way it's going to go. But I don't see it going much lower than this. I mean, you look at what happened before this last pullback. In July, we were down, I think it dipped to 67. We actually, at the end of June, it dipped to 67, then it ran all the way up to about 92, 93, like you said, almost 95 briefly in the daytime by the end of September, which was before, that high was before the Hamas attacks on Israel. Remember, that was October 7th. So you got, then we had that little spike up because of the Hamas thing, and, you know, you got Hezbollah and Iran's involved in all this stuff, and that spiked it up on war fear. But then, you know, Israel doesn't produce any oil. Gaza doesn't produce any oil. So as long as that conflict is contained there, then that's no real impact on physical supply. Now, I would argue that everybody on this planet pretty much knows that Iran is the one supplying these people with weapons, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthi guys in Yemen, and they're attacking. We've had 100 attacks on U.S. military bases in Syria and Iraq. So sooner or later, you know, there's going to be more and more pressure on Biden to actually enforce the sanctions against Iran, which he has not been doing, because that, you know, the Team Biden wants to have lower gasoline prices. So they're not going to do anything to take oil off the market if they can help it. But everybody knows what Iran's cheating on everything. So
let's talk about OPEC then, because look, OPEC has pledged to curtail 900,000 barrels a day from January onward. They're also projecting a deficit of almost 2 million barrels a day in Q1 of next year. However, some things that we heard from the Saudi energy minister said that some of these cuts were simply to overcome the usual inventory build that happens in the first quarter. So how do you balance out what OPEC is saying?
Yeah, the 1.2 is that oil demand is seasonal. September and October are kind of low points for demands, and we should be building inventory prior to the winter, especially for home heating oil. That really didn't happen. Our distillate inventories are like 12% below normal at this point, which is, you know, diesel and home heating oil primarily. But, you know, they actually increased the amount of oil they were going to keep off the market. But I think there's some worries that somebody said, though, but those were voluntary. So we don't know that they're actually going to do that. So there was a lot of conversation about that after they made their announcement. But the main two taking it off are Russia is going to export less heating oil because they're going to have a very cold winter in Russia this year, and they need it. Then Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia is definitely going to stick to it because they're the ones that benefit the most from higher oil prices.
Dan, what do we read into it that OPEC doesn't have another meeting scheduled until June of 2024?
Yeah, they can. That's like their official meeting, but you know, they can announce something every month if they want to. And I think if they're not getting the price they want, and they want Brent like in the mid 80s. And Brent in the mid 80s would be 80 for us. So I forecast a lot of companies. And for my low case, I would say I would use $70 oil as my low case. And we're actually below that a little bit right now. But that would be my low case for 2024. My base case would be 80 for WTI. And my up high case would be 90, which is, if you look at the 1 year chart of, that's pretty much where oil's traded. I think we've been as low as like 67 and as high as 95. It's pretty amazing, this 1 year chart that I'm looking at here.
All right, that wraps up this first segment of the second hour. But in the second segment, hey, we continue to chat with Dan Stephan, so you are going to hear the mostly back half of that interview. Everyone stick around, we're going to be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, we are back with Dan Steffens, president of the Energy Prospectus Group, and this is the continuation from the first segment that you heard in the second hour, and again, the full interview on our website, posted on Wednesday. Oh, there have been some wild swings. Go back to 2022, and we're up at $120 plus. So, look, it has been a volatile market. Let's also talk about U.S. production, because U.S. production got back to some all-time highs by the end of last month. You mentioned the mix between light oil and heavy oil and how the U.S. is still a net importer, but this increase in U.S. production, is it taking away some of OPEC's pricing power?
Not really. I don't think we're still a net importer. It's more the perception that there's less demand than they had originally forecast. Now, OPEC comes out with a regular monthly report and then followed usually the next day, which will be tomorrow. IEA is going to come out with their oil market update, which is a monthly report. They're at odds. I mean, OPEC is consistently saying they see demand rising by another 2.2 million barrels per day in 2024. And IEA, based in Paris, are saying just below 1 million barrels per day. Still, both of them are projecting an increase in demand, which is going to happen because global population increases. But when you look at the, if OPEC's correct, the oil markets are going to be very, very tight when we get to next summer. You're going to, because the summer is the peak period where even between the beginning of the second quarter and the beginning of the third quarter, you'll see a global increase in demand of over 2 million barrels a day just in 3 months. And that's because more people live in the northern hemisphere and we do a lot more driving in the summer months than we do in the winter months. So that's what does it. But if that happens, it's going to be very, very tight market 6 months from now.
Okay, let's just get a quick comment on the natural gas price, because that too has gone through a pretty quick fall. Back in November, it was over $3.60, and now it's the whole way down to about $2.30 and some change there. But what's caused this major pullback in natural gas prices?
You know, a couple months ago, I said I was a little bit worried about where we were going to start the inventory, and we're about 200 or 300 BCF above the five-year average heading into the winter. Now, we use more natural gas every year, so we need more in storage. And this year, we've got all the LNG export facilities online, hopefully through the whole winter. And if we just have a normal winter, this will all work down. Storage capacity will go down. What's in storage will go back down to normal by April. Actually, the surplus to where we were last year should be gone by the end of January. So I think it's weather. You know, if there's so much weather-related demand, you know, if it's really, really cold, we can draw 300 BCF out of storage in a week. You know, you look at history, we had a lot of them. In fact, we had 107 or 117, I think, BCF pulled out of storage for the week ending December 1st, and I didn't think it was all that cold that week. So, you know, we'll just see. But our LNG exports should remain in near capacity. So I this will work out. Now, the price you're seeing is the price of the front month contract, which right now we're at, what, 235 on the January contract. Well, that's down because when the utilities that bring gas to your home think they have enough gas in storage, they're out of the physical market. So there's more paper traders that have to close their long positions, and there's not as many buyers for those contracts willing to take the physical supply. So that's what's caused this dip, this drop off. Now, in an El Nino winter, they usually start mild, and then January can get very, very cold. So if that happens, you could see this all flip back to $3 in January. That's what I hope. My average price I'm using is $3.25 for next year, with it being much higher at the end of the year than at the beginning.
Okay. Yeah, it's just been a very quick fall after it looked like it was trying to establish itself above that $3 level.
Yeah, but I looked today, and on October 31st, natural gas was $3.80. So look at over a dollar. That's a huge percentage move for the gas.
Yeah, it's a huge move down. All right. Well, let's talk about your portfolio strategy, especially when it comes to oil companies. Because, look, a falling price does put pressure on some of these stocks. So in a broad sense, what type of companies do you focus on in these, well, slightly at least in the short term, more bearish times for oil and natural gas?
Yeah, I'm doing this personally in my own portfolio, is investing in companies that pay really good dividends, that they have the free cash flow to continue to pay their dividends. They have strong balance sheets. They don't have any near-term debt problems, and they have rising production, and they can fund that production growth entirely with operating cash flow. And use $70 or even $65 to do your forecast, and you'll see that these companies are still very, very profitable at today's oil price. That's the problem with it going to 90. Then when it pulls back to 70, everybody, oh my God, can they make money? Yes, they can make a lot of money at $70. They survived $40 and $50 for like 2 years, so they could do it. But, yeah, I think put your money in companies that just pay really good dividends. And there's a lot of them, and some have, the prices have pulled back because the yields are tremendous now.
Well, and that's the thing, right? The yields have gone up. So it's more about, I think, sustainability of those dividends. Let's talk about a couple companies that you sent over to me. One, which we have had on the show a number of times, that is Hemisphere Energy, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol HME. This company is continuing to grow, and it is a vastly different company than it was from back in 2020 and prior to that. Take us through Hemisphere and what you're liking about the company right now.
Well, Hemisphere, as your listeners probably know, it's a Canadian junior. Trades primarily on the Venture Exchange, but current production is about 3,300 barrels of oil per day. It's almost 100% heavy oil company. It's got 10% year-over-year production growth this year, or in 2023, and based on my discussions, I met with Don Simmons, the CEO, was here on December the 8th, did a luncheon for our group, and I spent about 2 hours with him, and he's very excited about where the company stands. What I like really is the pristine balance sheet. They've paid off all of their interest-bearing debt, so they have no debt problems whatsoever. They generated almost $20 million of free cash flow this year, which covered all their drilling costs, all their completion costs, and their dividends. They pay a base dividend of 2.5 cents per quarter, so 10 cents per year. Now, this stock is only like $1.27 Canadian. So just based on their base dividend, the yield is about 8%. But then at the end of each year, they're going to pay out a special dividend. So if they've got, you know, a bunch of cash on the balance sheet because they've had excess free cash flow, they don't need to pay off debt and they don't need to buy anything, or, you know, it's more than covering their deal. They're going to pay that out as a special dividend. And on the 1st of November, they just paid out this year's special dividend of 3 cents. So the dividend yield was 13 cents in total dividends, which is a 10% dividend yield on the current share price. And now that they've paid off all their debt, interest-bearing debt, they should have even more free cash flow at the end of next year, unless we have a significant reduction in price. They're also going to benefit when that Trans Mountain pipeline gets completed. The differentials on their oil will shrink significantly in the second half of next year when that comes online. So that'll really help. So they're in really good shape, and I'm really excited. They have a new project. They've accumulated 10 sections of land, so it's a pretty big deal that could actually double the company's production in the next 3 to 4 years.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. That's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani says he'll appeal a $148 million defamation verdict after 10 hours of deliberations, a Washington, D.C. jury ordering Giuliani to pay the two Georgia election workers he's accused of defaming during Donald Trump's 2020 election defeat. The two women were absentee ballot counters in the state of Georgia.
Possibly we'll move for a new trial. Certainly we'll appeal. The absurdity of the number merely underscores the absurdity of the entire proceeding.
To the Middle East, where the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces, says it's killed three Israeli hostages in Gaza by accident in the heat of battle. IDF spokesman Jonathan Conricus.
We misidentified hostages for enemy combatants and sadly shot them. That is what went wrong, and that is a mistake that happened in the heat of battle.
And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discovery on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back, everyone. Next up in the second hour, I am replaying an interview that I had with Dave Erfley that was posted on Thursday. This is where we focus on the Fed pivot and what the reaction was in gold and some of the miners. Hey, everyone. Welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. And Dave, I am sure happy that we pushed our call back from our normal Tuesday call time to Thursday because we wanted to see what came out of that Fed meeting, the press conference, and the market reaction. And boy, oh boy, did we have. It really sounded like a change in narrative from the Fed and from Jerome Powell at the press conference where the Fed showed us through their dot plot that they are planning on cutting rates next year and even arguably about one more rate cut than people were expecting heading in, or at least what the dot plot was showing. And we have a term that I have really enjoyed over the last about 24 hours, a pivot party, where we saw all kinds of markets moving higher. We always stick to the precious metals markets, and boy, oh boy, we saw gold rally, what was it, almost $100 in a matter of 24 hours. The stocks, especially the majors, took off. Silver went higher. There was a lot of green on the screen in the last hour trading yesterday, and even to start today on Thursday. Dave, what was your takeaway from that Fed meeting and this, what truly seemed like a pivot from the Fed?
Yeah, really super interesting. You know, Corey, gold just is doing what gold loves to do best, is whipsaw traders out of position as much as possible before a major upleg can begin. I mean, let's go back a little farther leading into this Fed meeting. I mean, after an extreme overbought gold price exploded to an intraday record high during thinly traded Asian markets to 2152, it began the month of December that way. And then since the move was just so sharp and it was extreme overbought already, these short-term traders had these windfall profits. So I'm going to take these profits because the move happened on a geopolitical event in the Strait of Hormuz, which saw a U.S. ship get attacked and a big, huge, nasty reversal candle resulted on the weekly chart. So that brought out the bears, right? Understandably, you know, they're calling for a false breakout, which it certainly was. And, the dollar started to go higher and they expected the Fed to be hawkish, like most everybody did. So the gold price went all the way back down to below $2,000 on Wednesday before the Fed came out and shocked the world. And basically saying that there's going to be not only a possibility of rate cuts, but a possibility of three rate cuts in 2024. And then the dot plot was revealed, and that's when the gold price really took off. I think gold went up $40 in the matter of an hour. And that dot plot revealed that four rate cuts in 2025 and three more in 2026, bringing the rate all the way down to 2% to 2.25% in 2026. So this announcement of a long-awaited Fed pivot, right? I mean, everybody was waiting for, okay, when is higher for longer going to shift to a definite pivot? Well, this is what the Fed basically said, was we're not hiking anymore and we're going to start cutting. So that moved everything up. The Dow Jones Industrial hit an all-time high, which hasn't been confirmed by the NASDAQ or the S&P, by the way. And it was basically party on Wall Street. Everything went up as the dollar, which now has a head and shoulders top on its daily chart, a four-month head and shoulders top. And the U.S. dollar index broke 103, which is the neckline. And now it's all the way down to below 102. So we get a weekly close in the U.S. dollar index below 103. That could usher in a bear market in the dollar, and you know how bullish that'll be for the gold price. So now all eyes are on the last trading day of the year as far as the gold price is concerned, because although the gold futures made an intraday all-time high at 2090, a monthly close above this level is required for a technical breakout. So if we get a monthly, quarterly, and yearly close on the last day of trading, which is December 29th, above 2100, that would be a technical breakout, and it would likely trigger a strong advance into next year. And cup and handle breakout target, you know, it's a 13-year cup and handle on the gold chart, would be a target of 2500, and has Fibonacci measurements being is at 2460 and 3300. So, you know, we could see a really strong move in the gold price beginning next year if we get that monthly close above 2100 on December 29th.
So, again, just watching those all-time highs and, yeah, monthly closes, even consistent daily closes, too, would all be welcome for, I think, at least some traders. But then again, it turns into a momentum play, doesn't it, Dave? As you're saying, like, yes, monthly closes are fine, but if we truly want money or a bull market trend here, then momentum needs to continue to the upside. So it's not so much just a day in time. It is this momentum. It is consistent gains that we need to see.
Absolutely. And you saw this in the past on previous round numbers. We had a similar cup and handle in the gold price leading up to $500. This is when I got interested in the gold market back in 2003. That $500 level was the bullion bank's Maginot line of resistance back then, when we had a cup and handle of about 12 years below 500. And then when we had that monthly close above 500, that's when it took off, and it was more than doubled from below 500 by late 2007. So, and then the same thing happened at 1,000, where we had $1,000 bumping up again. When it first got to 1,000, it was extreme overbought. So it came, started to sell off below 1,000. And then, of course, we had the global financial crisis in the middle of that, and gold got all the way down to, I think it was $618. But then once gold price had a monthly close above $1,000, it took off again. And then it nearly doubled. It actually more than doubled from that low of 618 a few years later in 2011. And it got up to 1925 and never reached 2000. 2000 was major resistance, and it's been major resistance for 12, 13 years. So now the gold price, it had that monthly close above 2000 in November. And now it's trying to make a new floor at 2000, which previously was a 13-year resistance. So if gold, if the market starts to believe that gold is making a new floor at 2000, and once we get that technical close above 2100, I think that would be a sign that gold has made a new floor at $2,000. That's when the party's really going to get started in this sector, because if you take a look at what happened with the equity markets, right? The equity markets are, I think it's safe to say that the sentiment is uber bullish in equities right now. And the Dow is at an all time high, right? Well, gold is at an all time high. And I think it's safe to say that the gold equities are uber bearish. So that's a real interesting dichotomy right now. So, you know, and how tiny this sector is, it's not going to take much rotation from these, you know, Magnificent Seven tech stocks, which basically have accounted for 70% of the S&P for performance that's up over 22% this year. So it wouldn't take much of that rotation coming into ridiculously undervalued gold stocks to really ignite the sector. I mean, you saw how quickly white candles popped up yesterday in these majors, in Agnico Eagle and Newmont. Within the space of an hour, they were up 5-6%.
Okay, that's all the time we have for this segment on the radio. But Dave and I, again, did continue that conversation for probably another about 5 minutes, talking about some of the other nuances he noticed within some of the resource stock moves. To listen to that full interview, again, visit our website on Thursday. That is when that is posted. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back to wrap up this weekend's edition.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
I need to do my taxes. Are there any self-help options online?
Doing taxes yourself? IRS.gov has many self-service tax tools, and they're all just a click away. Prepare and file your taxes online using FreeFile. Use our calculator to estimate your tax withholding. Order a tax transcript. Apply for an employer identification number. Check your refund status, too. IRS.gov, your 24/7 federal tax resource.
Final segment of the KE Report Weekend Edition. In the second hour, it is another replay from a Thursday interview, this time with Craig Hemke. Craig always cracks me up on our calls, and he always has comments on the market, especially after Fed days. I hope you all enjoy this interview. Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of TFMetalsReport.com. Now Craig, let's first start off by talking about the Fed meeting, Jerome Powell's press conference yesterday that really lit a fire under the markets, and especially so even under the precious metals and the precious metals stocks. We'll get into your look ahead into what gold might do, what the stocks might do through the rest of this year and into next year. But from the Fed statement recap here, this was, I think, probably the most dovish hold that the Fed could have presented us with. They essentially said, look, that they are looking at rate cuts for next year, although that was already a little bit in the cards when you looked at the dot plot. However, they did move to more 3 rate cuts next year. And the big takeaway I had was from Jerome Powell's press conference, where it sounded like he pretty much said they don't need major market weakness. They don't need a market collapse to start cutting rates. They just need to keep seeing the inflation numbers move down, and they're going to cut rates anyway. They think that 5.5% is too high on the Fed funds rate anyway. So, Craig, what was your takeaway from what we saw yesterday out of the Fed and Jerome Powell?
Well, Corey, to your latter point of your question, the Fed and the Treasury, more importantly, needs lower interest rates, right? The total debt service cost for the U.S. is now over $1 trillion a year. And they've got a lot of issuance that is coming down the pipe and refunding. They need lower interest rates. So, yeah, it's not crazy to think that as long as they can get inflation back under control, that they want to get rates back down. You know, this whole higher for longer thing was rhetoric trying to drown out inflation. So that's exactly the path they want to take for obvious reasons. Even Yellen was out talking about that this week. And in the short term, though, and again, in understanding what the Fed is doing, you know, there's whatever, 10 Fed meetings a year. I don't think there's necessarily one every month. But on the quarters, March, June, September, and December, they take a survey of themselves and they issue what's called a summary of economic projections. Okay. And that's what you're referring to about future rate cuts. Now, remember, Fed officials, Fed goons are a little bit like your local weatherman, right? I mean, they're trying to, they're just an opinion off of their own experience, and they're trying to tell you what they think is going to happen in the future when in fact they're trying to predict chaos. Okay. You know, I mean, it was just 2.5 years ago in the summer of 2021 when many of these same FOMC members were talking about not a single rate hike until after 2023. Okay. The dot plot back then was 75 basis points for Fed funds in 2023. So you always got to, again, all of this is just kind of guesswork. So you got to keep that in mind. All right. So finally, where are we now? In the June SEP 6 months ago, the Fed and the FOMC members were guessing, projecting 4 rate cuts next year, 2024, and 5 in 2025. Then as we got through the summer, the data appeared to tick up. And in the September SEP, they cut the 4 rate cuts next year to a projection of just 2. And then, you know, everybody got freaked out and the markets went down and the gold went down and the dollar rallied and all that kind of stuff. Well, what did they do yesterday? They moved it back up to 3. Okay, so still less than what they had in June, but more than what they were suspecting in September, and now we're closer to 2024, so it seems more realistic and all this kind of stuff. At the end of the day, we know what's going to happen. The Fed, like you said, is they're not taking rates any higher. Inflation is coming down, at least in by their metrics, and they're going to want to start cutting rates again. That's bearish for the dollar, and dollar is down a couple of points in 24 hours because of this and because of the ECB saying that they didn't have any interest in really in cutting rates. And it's also bullish for the precious metals. But as you know, and we just got reminded of again a couple of weeks ago, Corey, it's never straight up, man. Bull markets and gold are always going to be 2 steps forward and 1 step back. But it'll at least look like we're in a bull market heading into next year.
It sure does. But again, let's talk about what the sweet spot is for the Fed here. It seems like we all know that they want inflation at 2%, but it also sounds like they want the Fed funds rate right around 2% as well, maybe a little bit higher when you look at what they're projecting in terms of rate cuts out a few years. And we all know how inconsistent these projections can be, but is that the environment that it seems like the Fed is its dream scenario?
Yeah, I think the Fed, you know, with all their PhDs and all their economists, they know, they've seen in the past, that if you're going to manage today's debt, you've got to pay it back with the cheaper currency of tomorrow. So the Fed is going to want to maintain some type of structure of either basically zero real rates or slightly negative real rates. And so that then gets to what you're suggesting, that they might even be comfortable with 2.5-3% inflation if ultimately it can stabilize there and then they can cut, you know, Fed funds rate back to 2. That, I'm sure, is a dream scenario for them. That's what they want to do. It's just a function of whether they can. You know, again, they've got a pretty limited number of dials and switches that they can play with in trying to impact all this stuff. And again, the entire U.S. economy, global economy, is a chaotic system. We treat the Fed, not you and I, but the media and the big banks and everybody else, treats these Fed officials as if they're these omnipotent demigods that are fully in control and are never wrong. Well, like I just said, 2.5 years ago, they didn't think there'd be any rate hikes in 2023, and we got all the way to, you know, 5.5%. So Powell, at least, has the humility to admit that they are trying to navigate by the stars on a cloudy night. But we all in the markets want some kind of certainty so we can put our money on the line. And so too many people assume that they really will do exactly what they tell us that they're going to do. And that's what makes all of this somewhat challenging sometimes.
So carrying that over to gold, look, gold had a very nice day yesterday, having another very nice day today on the futures market. We're sitting right around that 2050 level. Silver's also having a very good day, back above $24. Still a lot of room for silver to do on the upside, but now that we have what seems like more of a Fed pivot behind us, what are some of the next catalysts to give gold another leg higher here, Craig?
Well, we should at least kind of be stable and drift higher. You know, after the events of that first weekend of this month and just a terrible looking, fully engulfing reversal candle on the daily chart, that led to a bad week last week and the weekly chart looked bad. And I was like, man, are we going to end the year with a, you know, a lousy monthly candle and back under 2000? I guess anything is possible that could still happen, but the events of yesterday, we should probably be able to survive the month and still finish okay. It's a very seasonally, a very strong month as well. The last, again, you always cherry pick dates, but I just saw a guy on Twitter a couple weeks ago put out an item that said over the last six Decembers, gold has averaged a 3.9% gain. And there's reasons for that. There's reason for that seasonality, you know, wedding season, you know, pending in India and Turkey, things like that. And so we should have at least a benign macro environment for gold for these last couple of weeks of the year. There are not going to be a lot of Fed officials running around. Now, there's going to be Fed officials out tomorrow. That always happens. And we're recording this on Thursday. Whenever there's an extreme reaction to whatever Powell says at an FOMC meeting, I don't know who it'll be, but I'm sure in the 8 o'clock Eastern hour tomorrow on Bloomberg and on CNBC, you'll get, you know, Barkin or Cash Carey or Williams or somebody to go out there and try to walk back some of what was perceived that Powell said. So there's not a lot of data left in the month, right? Everybody's going to be on holiday, you know, trying not to, and so there's just not a lot of negative macro stuff coming. You throw that seasonality part on there, I think there's a pretty good chance at this point we're going to finish the month, the quarter, and the year north of $2,000. And for the, you know, the generalist investor out there, the people that don't normally really pay attention to gold, that'll be a headline grabber. And it'll get them to kind of, you know, maybe think about their asset allocation as the new year begins. And so that could set up a pretty good positive environment for first part of next year.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com.
www.ncmilitary.com immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.